Tessia, 5th of May, Rabbi Shimon Gurevitz, Parshasim.
I'd like to quote a Gaon in Eved Shlomo. The Gaon says the following: "Im ein ha'odom mishtadl lalo is tomin mala mala. If a person doesn't try constantly, doesn't strive constantly to grow, al korchoi yered mato moto, then against his will he will automatically end up sliding downwards." The Gaon tells us there's only You can only move in one direction, either up or down. There's no way of staying on a level. In the Hagoi, he brings down a remez to this in Parshat Kisavoy, the Parshat of the Brochs and the Klolos. The Pasuk says, "Vayisa rak lamalo, v'loisi elamato." The Gaon says, what's the word rak doing there? "Vayisa lamalo, v'loisi elamato." So he says the rak is there to indicate this idea, this lesson. For yiso rak lamalo, constantly and at all times you have to strive to move forwards, to move upwards. We have to understand, why can't a person remain on a level? He's got his level, there's the mitzvahs that he does. Why can't a person hold a level? Why does a person have to move constantly upwards? And if he doesn't do so, then, rachman l'islam, he will move downwards, yered mato moto. This week's parasha, we find the Seder Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, and we're told as follows. Parasha tells us, "Ume'eis adas b'nei Yisrael, yikach shnei sirei izim, lechatos, v'ay lecho lo'elo, v'noson ara al shnei asirim k'yrolois, k'yril echod la'ashem, v'goyel echod la'azozim." Told to take two seerim, two he-goats, and one of them is brought up as a kolban la'ashem, a great state of elevation, and the other one is a soil la'azozim. K'moyin yumin daf samach beis, says the posuk, "V'yikach shnei seirei izim, echod l'chatz v'echod lo'ela," needs a little bit of explanation. We know the rule is, miut rabim shnayim. Whenever we find something written in the plural without being told how many, it automatically we can assume that it is two. Miut rabim shnayim. So if the pasuk tell us, yikach seirei izim, it will be self-understood that how many seirim do we need to take? Two. So why does it say, shnei seirei izim? Says the Gemara, that this is the makoif, actually is written in the Mishnah there, that when the two seirim have to be shovim, the two seerim have to be identical. They have to be the same height, they have to have the same look, and they also have to be worth the same value on the market. And that's what's meant by shnei. The extra word shnei comes to teach you that we don't only need two, but the two need to be identical, a pair. We have to understand, what's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to teach us? Must be a very important lesson, which is borne out to us on Yom HaKippurim, on Yom HaKodesh, that we've got to take Shnei Se'irim that are identical. What's the idea behind this? Why do the Shnei Se'irim have to be identical? What's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to teach us? It says in the beginning of this week's parasha, "Vayema Hashem al Moshe, Dabe al Aaron al Chicha, Bar Yoboi b'chol Eis al HaKodesh." And the Pesukim go on to elaborate and explain and teach us the whole Seder HaAvodah and the preparation Achona that Aaron HaKohen, or any Kohen God for that matter, has to make before he's Nichnas, Lifnai V'Lifnim, before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Rashi says, when it says, With the Seder HaAvodah, with these preparations, Aaron can be Nichnas, Aaron can go Lifnai B'Lifnim. Lo'i V'Choles. Aaron wasn't allowed to do this at any point in time. Aaron couldn't decide in the middle of the year to go through this whole Seder HaAchonah, to go through all these preparations with our Krov of these Korbanos, and then go Lifnai V'Lifnim. Ki Im B'Yom HaKippurim. So in Yom HaKippurim, the Aaron HaKohen Medusa. As it says Rashi, B'Soif HaParsha, B'Chodesh HaShvi, V'Osoy LaChodesh, says towards the end of the Parsha, that this is all relevant only one time in the year, on Yom HaKippurim, as the parasha finishes off, where he says, "Zoyis lechem olam achas bashon." So Rashi tells us, we see later on, prohibition for the kohenim and gedolim to go more than once a year. That when it says "Zoyis yom Aaron," of course, he has to go through this process, but he can only do so once a year. He cannot do this during the year. The Gaon asks many questions. We'll quote just two of the questions. One question the Gaon asks is as follows. This whole parasha is relevant to one time in the year, Yom HaKippurim. As it says later on, and it's many psukim later, towards the end of the parasha, V'yisro lachem l'chukas olam b'chodesh ha'shvi'i v'osro l'chodesh. Says the Gaon, if you look through the Torah, whenever we have something which is relevant to a specific date, we're always given the date first, and then we're told what we do on that date. You have a look at parashas Emor. The parashas Hamoyadim. We're always told, "B'chodesh Harishon b'yom Chamish Asaboy," you do this and this and this. "B'chodesh Hashvi b'yom Chamish Asaboy," you conduct yourself and you do these various mitzvahs. The date's always given first, and then we're told what we do on this date. Have a look in this week's parasha. We're first given the whole Seder Achana, the whole Seder Avodah, and then 29 psukim later, we're told, "V'oisozet lachem b'chukas Olam." This parasha is structured differently than all other similar parashas in the Torah. Another question that the Gaon asks is as follows. The Gaon asks that if you look at the end of the parasha addresses itself to Kohanim Gedolim. It says as follows. It says, who is that? That's the Kohen Gadol. The parasha is being addressed to Kohen Gadolim. And yet, from the beginning of the parasha until we get towards the end of the parasha, it's all Aaron, 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 Aaron. If it's addressed to Kohen Gadolim, don't keep mentioning Aaron. Address Kohen Gadolim. Why is the parasha throughout addressed to Aaron and Kohen? And only at the end we're told this applies to Kohen Gadolim. Says the Gaon, if we look in the Medroshim, we'll see from the Medroshim, not like the quoted from Rashi. Rashi says even Aaron HaKohen was only allowed to go in once a year. If you have a look at the Medroshim in Parshas Tzava, there's a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows, towards the end of Parshas Tzava, Aaron hayonichnas b'chol shor lebeis kodshei hakodoshim. Aaron HaKohen could go into the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wanted. Versteitzach. He could only go in with this process, with the Seder Avodah, with Achonah. Al Yovei B'choleis. He couldn't come in whenever he wanted without any pre-preparation. But with the necessary preparations, says the Medrash, he could come in B'chol Shah. Mufosh makes up a meaning, come B'chol Shah. The Psukim say, Achas Bashana. And some of the Mefarshim or Magia the Medrash, instead of B'chol Shah, it should say B'chol Shon. But the Eitz Yosef already brings down Parashat Tzava, and the Gaon also makes reference to a Medrash in this week's Sedra. The Medrash says, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron he ha'ka'al yovei b'chol eis. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean by eis? How long is eis? Yesh eis l'yud beis chodesh, yesh eis l'ayin shona. How great is the restriction that you're placing on Aaron HaKohen? Al yovei b'chol eis. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, loik shem k'shata sova. I'm not placing a restriction in the way that you've understood it. Lo yeis the shor, v'lo yeis the yom, v'lo yeis the shona, v'lo yeis the yud beis shona, v'lo yeis the ayin shona. When I say al yovei b'chol eis, I don't mean to place any restriction on Aaron HaKohen coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Ela b'chol shor shu roitze likonis. He comes. Aaron HaKohen can come into the Kodesh Kodoshim whenever he wants. Rak, sheikonis b'seidah zeh. But before he comes in, he has to go through the process the Mei Achona, Shibas Yom, and Kriyam HaKippurim, the 7 days of preparation, with all the various korbanos and akrovas that have to be brought. Says the Gaon, we can see from the Medrash that although we're told later on in the Parsha that Kohen Gadol could only go in Achas Bashana, and that was only relevant to the date of Bachodesh HaShvi'i B'Yom HaAsiri, boy, that was only relevant to the date of Yom HaKippurim, Aaron HaKohen was an exception. Aaron HaKohen could come in at any time, B'chol Shor, as long as he did the necessary preparation. Says the Gaon, then we can understand the Ha'oras that we were Mo'ira on the Parsha to begin with. Every Parsha starts with a date, and then we get the details. Over here, the date's only given in Poskav Tes. The answer is as follows. In the beginning of the Parsha is speaking to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen can go through this process and come in whenever he wants. There's no date. The end of the Parsha, we're talking to regular Kohenim Gedolim. Oh! So of course, the date doesn't come at the beginning of the Parsha because Aaron HaKohen is not bound to any date. And that's why the beginning of the Parsha is addressed to Aaron. And it's only the end of the Parsha that we address to the Kohen Gadol, because the beginning of the Parsha is speaking about the ability to go in with this process at any point in time. That was relevant to Aaron HaKohen. The end of the Parsha, Achas Bashono, but also the Shviyeh V'chitsha Shviyeh, B'yumasini boy, that's Dafka Kohen Gadol. And the Gaon answers many other kashas with this as well. The connections there as well, yeah. So the question that we've got to ask is as follows. Where do we ever find an Issa Torah where there are exclusions? Why is this? If the Ribbono Shel Olam gave an Issa to go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, except for Achas Bashana, why was Aaron HaKohen allowed to go whenever he wants? Generally speaking, the Tariag Mitzvahs, the Surah Torah and the Mitzvahs, all encompassing. What's the shat in the fact that an exception was made for Aaron HaKohen? How do we understand this? We find some sort of parallel in Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel is written as follows in Perek Memvov, Pasuk Ches. It says as follows: Uvevoy Anosi derech Ulam Hashar. When the Nosi comes into the Azorah. It says as follows, Uro Masha Yovoi Ubedar Koi Yetze. He can come in and go out through the same gate. The Pasuk then carries on in Pasuk Tes and says as follows, Ubevoi Am Ha'oretz Lifnei Hashem. When the regular population come in before the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Azora, the Moedim, when they were Oyle Regel, Habo Derech Shad Sofon Deishtachavois, the one that comes in through the northern gate, Yetze derech shar negev, he goes out through the southern gate. Vabo derech shar negev, and the one that comes through the southern gate, Yetze derech shar tzvoina, he goes out through the northern gate. Lo yoshuv derech hashar asher boboy, says the Navi Yecheskel, he mustn't go back out through the door that he uses to entrance the Azorah. We have a prohibition here, which is relevant to the regular population, but an exception is made for the Nossi. The Nossi is allowed to come in and go back through the same gate. Perhaps we can understand what the chilik is over there, maybe we can apply that over here as well. So Chosid Yaivetz, in his Pirush to Maseches Ovos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet, he discusses these psukim in Yecheskel. Why was there this different differentiation? The Nossi could come and go in whichever way he wanted, and the regular population had strict instructions. You come through there, you go out through there, and vice versa. So he says as follows. He says, the reason why the Klal Yisrael were instructed to use a different gate when they go out than when they come in, is because there was a worry that they would become familiar with the Mokoim HaAzorah. They would feel at home there. As he says, the Shar HaAzorah will become Keshar Beisom. The Kiros Habayis would become Kirkiroisam. The walls of the Beis Hamikdash would become like their walls. If they were allowed to go in and out and in and out in the normal manner, they might end up feeling very much at home and not having the correct covered for the Mokim Hamikdash. And therefore, the instruction was, you're coming through one gate, you're not allowed to go back through that gate, you have to go back through another gate. We want to minimize the familiarity and want to impress upon people, this is not home. This is some place that has to be treated with a completely different reverence than your home. But it was felt that the Nasi, who of course was on an elevated plane, elevated status, there was no chashash that he would ever view the Beis HaMikdash as home. And therefore the Nasi was given a dispensation, the Nasi was given leave to come and go through whichever entrance he wanted. But the general population, there was a concern, there was a worry, they'd become too familiar, and therefore strict instructions were given to the regular population how to access and how to leave the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodesh, the Azor. What's the issa? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam say that a Kohen Gadol can only come in once a year? And the reason is the same as Rashi already makes mention. The reason is exactly the same. When one comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not good enough that you don't feel at home. Kodesh HaKadoshim has to be accessed with great trepidation, with pachat, with moira, with kovet. And if a Kohen Gadol is allowed to entrance too often, of course, he may not consider it like home, but the trepidation, the cherdas hakovet, the moira of a facha that's necessary when one goes into the Beis HaKadoshim will become diluted. Ergo, nasis teva. When one does something on a regular basis, it becomes more natural and one loses somewhat the special feeling, the special pachad, the special kovet that one requires, that's required. And that is why they were told, Al Yobe B'chol Eisa L'Kodesh, Achas Bashona. We needed this whole process, and only once a year, in order to ensure that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is accessed with the correct feelings of Chel Tzad Kovod, of Kovod Umoira V'Fachat. Aaron HaKoyen was above all that, and we'll bring a source to prove that. By Aaron HaKoyen, there was no chashash that Regilus, that doing something on a regular basis, would in any way impact on his feeling of reverence for the Mokim Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that is why Aaron HaKohen was made an exception, and Aaron HaKohen was allowed to come whenever he wanted, as long as he went through this process, just like the Nasi was allowed to come in and out through the same door. Now where do we see this? It says in Parshas Ma'alei Yisachar, Vayas, Aaron HaKohen was commanded to light the menorah, Vayas Kein Aaron. Says Rashi, Vayas Kein Aaron, B'lam Shino. Of course he followed the rules of the letter. It's not even that complicated. Had Loksa Menorah, of course he did as he was supposed to do it. Say the Mephoshim, B'lam Shloi Shino, Aaron HaKohen lit the Menorah on a daily basis for more than 38 years. And one would imagine that over that time, it would become somewhat routine. He wouldn't quite have the feelings that he had the first time. We can only imagine the first time the Menorah was lit in the Beis HaMikdash. The slavas, the excitement, the feelings, the spiritual feelings that he felt the first time he lit the menorah. A normal person, as time goes on, that would wane somewhat. Hergel has its effect on all of us. But Aaron HaKohen was different. Vayas Kein Aaron Melamed Shloi Shina Aaron HaKohen was on the level that however many times he did something, it was a Dovah Ruchni, he performed it and did it with exactly the same intent. And the same Islavas, and the same Simcha, and the same Yiras HaKovet that he did it the very first time. And if Aaron HaKohen was on that Madrega, therefore there was no necessity to restrict Aaron HaKohen's entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Achas Bashonah. Aaron HaKohen could come in B'chol Shor. Because the whole reasoning behind the mitzvah didn't apply to Aaron HaKohen. Now we see from here the danger of Hergel. I mean, a Kohen Gadol can never access the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim without going through the whole process that's outlined in this week's parasha. It's not a simple business. 7 days beforehand, he has to take himself away from society and he has to go through all the various processes that are outlined in the Mishnais and in Yuma and that Krovus that brought over here. And nevertheless, we can't let anybody go more than once a year, because if he does so, something will go. He won't entrance with the same effect. And the truth is, this is a danger that we're faced in our Kiyum Mitzvahs. Our Kiyum Mitzvahs, when we carry Mitzvahs, day after day after day, the danger is that they will become routine. They'll become routine, as the Novi Yeshaya says, that the Novi Yeshaya says in the Pasuk, And goes on the Navi to detail the evils of Monsakim Mitzvah being Mitzvah Noshim Molomoda. I'd like to just highlight the chilek between a mitzvah that's done with Islavus, with Simcha, with the correct Avoid Salev, and a mitzvah that's done by rote, routinely, going back to Parshas Vayera. Other examples of this as well, but I'll utilize Parshas Vayera to demonstrate the value of a mitzvah that's done with the correct Islavus, with the correct approach, and a mitzvah that's done just by rote, just out of habit. We find in Parshas Vayera two appears to be outstanding acts of Achnos HaSeichem. Absolutely outstanding acts of Achnos HaSeichem. The first one, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, a 99-year-old man, B'yom Milosoi, ill, sick, in pain, and he was Moisei Nefesh and pushed himself to be Machnis Oyrech. And we find another outstanding act of Achnos HaSeichem in Parash Vayera. Loit. Loit, to be Machnis Oyrech in Stoim, was punishable by death. And Loit was Moisei Nefesh, a tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. He knew he was going to get into trouble, and he got into terrible trouble. And we see the Mesiris Nefesh, we see how he took steps to protect his visitors, extreme steps to protect his visitors, two outstanding acts of Achnos HaSeichem. Yet if we look at the Pesukim with the Chazal, we see that these two outstanding acts are treated in completely different ways. Avraham Avinu's act of Chesed is highlighted glowingly in the Torah. Highlighted glowingly in the Torah, this act of Mesiris Nefesh acts as a limud to us for Achnos HaSeichem, acts as a limud to us for Doiras. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us in Daf Pei Vav, as the schar of that act was paid back, was given back Doiras later, Amar Rabbi Domarav, Kol Ma She'osa Avraham Avinu, the Malchei Ashores, Ba'atzmoy, Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Levonov Le'atzmoy. In the Midbar, the Ribbon Hashem Bechvoidu Ve'atzmoy took care of Klal Yisrael as a schar for the Achnos HaSeichem that Avraham Avinu performed. A tremendous act that had moiridic ramifications through the Doiras later, the Ribbon Hashem Bechvoidu Ve'atzmoy looked after Avraham Avinu's children as a result of this Maisa Chesed. Maisa Loit doesn't seem to be given much chashivas in the parsha. In fact, we find in the parsha they're told when they left Stoim, al tabit acharecho. Don't look back, says Rashi, because they didn't really have their own schusim to be saved. Look at the Mesiris Nefesh of Achnos HaSeichem. It doesn't seem to have in any way helped them. When Rashi does say that Loit had a schus, in Pasuk Kaf Tes over there, Rashi says Loit did have one schus. When they went down to Mitzrayim together, and Avraham Avinu said that Sarah was his sister, he didn't tell them that it wasn't true. How can you compare that to that Mesiris Nefesh of Achnos HaSeichem? Look, Avraham and Sarah brought him up, they looked after him. Okay, he might have had a temptation to go and tell them, you know, he's telling a lie. He didn't do so, fine. But couldn't we find a better schus? Loit was Mesiris Nefesh. He put his life on the line in order to be Machnis Oyrech. Seemingly that was worthless. Why is that? The difference is as follows. Avraham Avinu, he performed the mitzvah. B'toich, Avoid Hashem, his lavas. Had the murder, he took it to the mitzvah. Loit had been brought up in Avraham Avinu's house. Achnos HaSeichem to him was absolutely routine. No great thought went into it. This is how you live. The same as you breathe and the same as you eat, you're Machnis Oyrech. It was done mitzvah hergel mitzvah noshim melumoda. And we see from here the difference between a mitzvah which is performed with the correct intent, with the fullest lavas, and a mitzvah which is performed out of hergel. One is considered a tremendous act, which is a limud l'dayis and a schus l'dayis, and the other one is absolutely k'nireh, more or less worthless. And maybe this is what the Ribbon Shem wants to highlight to us with the Shnei Seirim. Yom HaKippurim, we're told, bring Shnei Seirim that externally they appear to be Shovim, B'mare, B'koimo, V'domim. They look exactly the same. And yet, one is a Korban L'Hashem, and the other one ends up as a Soil L'Azazel. A person, the Yom HaKippurim, which is the Yom Cheshbon HaNefesh, he has to evaluate, where am I standing? It's not good enough to look at the externals. You can have two things that look externally the same, and yet one's an Avraham Avinu and one's a Lot. They were both Moshe Nefesh, but at the end of the day, they were heading in different directions. Their actions had different impact. Their actions had different meaning. And this is what we have to look at. If Yom Kippurim, Shnei Seirim, they look exactly the same. But one's the Hashem and one's the Azazel. One cannot just evaluate oneself in the chutz. One has to really evaluate oneself mibifnim. Now, how do we combat heretical? How do we combat this? How do we ensure that things are not routine? Now, Kiyum Mitzvah doesn't become Mitzvah Loshem L'Moda. Rebbe Elazar says in Brochas, Kol Oise Tfilosoi Kva, Ein Tfilosoi Tachanunim. Says the Gemara, what does it mean, Ha Oise Tfilosoi Kva? My Kva, Amar Rabbe V'Rab Yosef, Kol She'ena Yochoi L'Chadish Boi Dova. If there's no new inspiration, new insight, new understanding in his tefillah, as Rashi says, Ka'ayoyim, Kein Esma, Kein L'Mocha, and Ein Tfilosoi Tachanunim, his tefillah won't find favor in the eyes of the Ribbon Shleim. In other words, the way to ensure that one's tefillah doesn't become routine is lechadesh boidovo. Something that you do on a regular basis, you have to look for new inspiration, new understanding, new insights. When there's chidush, then there's islavus, then there's simcha, then there is the correct approach. When there's no chidush, automatically we have the danger of heredul mitzvah noshim melumoda. In fact, as Svasemis explains, our year is governed by the moon. And it causes us a lot of complications. And we've got to have Nisan B'Chodesh HaAviv, and if you work with the moon, the lunar year, which is 11 days shorter than the solar year, approximately, we end up with having to make extra months. And Adar Sheni, very, very complicated. So it says, Svasemis, wouldn't it have been easier for the Ribbono Shel Olam just to structure the year the same as the secular year, a solar year? Why do we have a lunar year? Very, very complicated. Says Svasemis as follows. For a Yid to succeed in his Kiyum Mitzvahs, for his Kiyum Mitzvahs to retain their value, there has to be Chidush. When you work with the moon, every month there's a Rosh Chodesh, there's a new start. One can inject a newness into one's Yiddishkeit. One takes stock at the end of the month, that's the idea behind the Yom Kippur Cotton, and then Rosh Chodesh, there's a new start, and that injects a Hischadshus into one's Yiddishkeit, into one's Kiyum Mitzvahs. If we would work with the sun, maybe less complicated as far as the calendar's concerned, one would end up with one day being exactly the same as the next and having a problem of Heregel. And in fact, the Medrash in Shir Hashirim says, Loma Nimshlu Yisrael Yoyna, why are Christ already compared to the dove? Ma Yoyna Mischadesh Es Goyna Kol Shleishim Yoyim. Just like the dove replenishes its supplies every 30 days. Kach Yisrael Mischadshim Atzmom. Betoyda over mitzvahs, b'chol chodesh, b'chodesh. Kal Yisrael renew themselves every month in Ketoyda over mitzvahs, and that is b'chol Rosh Chodesh. Just to go back to the Gaon that we quoted at the beginning, says Rabbi Kotler, that's Taich in the Gaon. The Gaon says one either goes up or goes down, and we ask, why can't one stay on a level on the plane? And the answer is as follows. If there's no chidush, if there's no injection of something new, of a new inspiration, then automatically it will become habit-forming and one will be yored, matter. The danger of Heregel is that the only way one can ensure that one's kiyum Torah or mitzvahs is with the correct intent and with the correct islaibus is to be oyla, rak, the maila. Shul, have a good Shabbos.
Something about it being this Hadash every 30 days. Maybe it's better or something like that.